Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we're going to be picking up here in Mark chapter 7. We're going to get right to it. We hope. All right. Verse 1. No, we're going to go to the Father in prayer because we want His guidance. We want that guidance of the Holy Spirit. We want Him to lead this service and to give us what we need to get out of this day and to help us to grow stronger in faith and in our walk with God. And we're asking this, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, now, chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tablets. And then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? You see, they are living tradition. And that's what they're wanting Jesus and the disciples to do. And that's not why the Lord came. Because He came to fulfill their way of life. That's why He was here. They can just pick out all they want to pick out. Of course, It's all to bring about what is the plan of Almighty God. Now, in verse 6 here, it says, he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites.
Uh-oh.
Getting kind of strong there, isn't he? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. You see, he laid them know that was just a tradition. That is not a commandment of God. It's not one of his commandments. And he's letting them know that eating with the unwashed hands is not defiling anything. Now, 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. Watch out. Watch out now. Now, here in 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. He's still letting them know. You cannot hold on to all these traditions. They're not commandments. It's letting you and I know that we cannot live a lot of the traditions of our families. Not of my family, not of my wife's family. We are to live by the word and the commandment of Almighty God. Now, here in 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, you see, he's letting us know. Our minds and our thoughts, we have to learn to train to do away with the evil things that will come in. Will they be evil thoughts come? Yes. It's what you do about it, whether you accept or whether you get rid of it. Now, because Satan is not going to leave us alone. As we've read many, many times and going to read many, many more, over and over, Now, because we belong to the Lord, and we're the ones he wants. And he'll do everything he can think of trying to drag us away from God. But if you have completed that plan of salvation and you have become that born-again child of God, then you are his. And Satan can't get you. Think about that. Now, 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? You got no understanding of my words? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draw, purging all meat. So what we take in is not defilements. Those things we eat and all, that's not defilements. He goes on here in 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Because you see, they are coming from the heart. Because the heart has not been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And they're not in there. Because if you had them, then that heart would be cleansed and none of these things would be coming from you. None of them. Is it always easy? No, it's not. It is something we work at all the time to make sure that we don't break the word of God and do anything that's not pleasing to him. Now, there are times that we will do things that we shouldn't, because there'll be something pop up that we really didn't understand or know about. Now, when we come to that, God doesn't count that to us as sin, but we do ask forgiveness for it. And we let him know that we don't want to do that again. And we don't. Because if we was to do it again, it would be sin. You see, sin is when we know something is wrong. And we do it anyway. And we know that something is against God. And we go right ahead and do it anyway. Now, here in 24, he said, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. I can't pronounce that word. Said she was a Greek, a Syropoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this thing go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. You see, he was testing her understanding. Now, 30. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Now, you see, there's a lot of, when we study the Bible, there's a lot of words given to us. It's Hebrew, a lot of it is Greek, and some of it is even heavenly language. Without the explanation of what it meant, we wouldn't know. That's just as with that one. They give us the explanation of it. Now, in 35, and straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He's healed, complete. 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. You see, because he knew they go publishing this, and there's going to be multitudes and multitudes on me. 37. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And these are all things that the church should be doing today. He tells you and I that even we as individuals, we have the authority and the power to be able to do that. And it has worked. With a lot, just by the one. But the church, when they come together, that's where the most power of Almighty God is. He tells us that. He tells us where there's even two or three of you gathered together He says, there I am in the midst. You see, there's work for us to do. Work he's wanting us to do. He loves us, yes. And he wants the best for us. But he also wants the work done that he has all laid out for us to do and to complete. Now, we're going to be going into chapter 8. Let's see. Chapter 8 is got 38 verses. We may not get all the way through it. We'll see where God takes us. You know. Verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. In other words, they didn't come from just right there. They had quite a piece to travel. And 4, his disciples asked him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did eat them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. They took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. Now, you see, that's the second time he fed a multitude with just a few loaves of bread and a few little bitty fishes. And the first time it was 5,000 men. This time it's 4,000. But you see, they only, don't know why, but they only count the men, and they have men and women and children with them. And we really don't know how many that was in these multitudes that he actually fed. But we know there were 4,000 men in this one. They took up 7 baskets that was left over and 12 from the 5,000 that he fed the first time. Now, 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. You wonder just how much people do really need to accept him for who he is when they see all of this. These Pharisees had to be there seeing all this go on. And yet now they're wanting greater things from him, just to get them to believe. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. no sign unto this generation. Think about that. And he left them and entered into the ship again and departed to the other side. 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. They only got one loaf of bread now. 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. No. He's talking about, he's wanting them to beware of the evil that is there in the Pharisees and in Herod's bunch. That's the leaven he's talking about. Had nothing to do with bread. But that's the way, and this is his disciples of the wedding. You remember, we had talked about them before, and while he's still here on earth, you see, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're getting their understanding as he really breaks it down and gives it to them. Because until he does, there's a lot of things they don't understand. Now, 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your hearts yet hardened? He's talking pretty plain, isn't he? And in his way of talking, he's not leaving much unsaid. 18. Having eyes, see you not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember? You've seen all of this, you've heard all of this, and still you don't remember? 19. There in 18, it ended with, do you not remember? 19. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. 20. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? He's asking them, how is it you do not understand? We have a lot today that don't understand this word, that reads it, but they have not come to the point of accepting Jesus, of being forgiven for their sins, and they are not going to understand. Because to get understanding of God's word, we have to have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the word tells us this. We'll be getting into it. So just remember, and I'm hoping you'll remember, when I get there to that part, that you'll remember I told you. Now, 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. In other words, he's asking, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men and trees walking. After that, he put his hand again upon his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. But he knows he's going to. He tells him not to, but he knows he's going to do it. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I saw to his disciples there. And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days raise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now Peter's on to him, see? Peter's rebuking him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. See, Peter rebuked him because he ain't wanting him to go through that. And he's not wanting him to leave them. But he's letting him know that what God wants is what we are all to want. 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see what he's asking? I'm going to read that verse once more, because I really want you to get that. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he saith unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You see, you've got to be willing to come to the point that you're willing to give up everything of this world in order to follow him. And I mean to follow him. And that is following him every day, every hour, every moment of your life. How do we do that? By keeping him with you at all times, keeping your mind and your heart clean, clear, and truthful speaking, and doing whatsoever he leads you to do. 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You can't get much plainer than that, can you? That's about as plain as you're going to get in the Word of God. Now, we have finished those two chapters a little early, but we're going to stop here because chapter 9 is quite lengthy, and I don't want to start through it and then have to stop in the middle. And I know the Spirit don't want it that way either, because a lot of times we would be causing him to stop where he wouldn't want to stop. Right now, we've got about 20 minutes left. Let's see exactly how many verses there is in that. There's 50 verses in that. Oh, Lord, what do we do? We're going to go on. All right, chapter 9. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about that some of them he's talking to right there. That's what he's saying. There shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. He's letting them know there was some there that was going to end up seeing his death and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven and the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would be sent back and the church age began and the kingdom of God was on earth now with mankind. You see, because that's where the kingdom of God's at, is within man also. There's a lot in you when you are a child of God. Now, and after 6 days, Jesus taking with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. In other words, He's really glowing and glowing white. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. Here they are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth with Moses and Elijah, talking to them. Moses had went on to be with God in heaven. Now here they are, talking with him. Now, Peter answering and said unto Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he was not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They were afraid now, seeing this. There was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with himself. The only ones left was Jesus with them. Elijah and Moses had been taken back to heaven. 9, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with them, questioning one with another what the raising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught? But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed as it is written of him. He's letting them know and give them an understanding in answer to, because Elijah had come. And the spirit of Elijah had come. Now, 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questioned ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. In other words, it's been going on for a long time. Now, 22, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And you know, I've told you all this many times, and now you'll see it here in God's word. And he said unto them, this kind can only come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It takes that strength of faith in God's power to handle something like that. That's why we need to fast often. We don't have to fast all the time, but we need to fast often. Now, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall raise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Think about that. Are you afraid to ask Jesus things? 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be least of all, and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. When he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me, the Father. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one cast out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbid him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Tell him, leave him alone. Let him go. For he that is not against me is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Not taking a whole lot, is it? You know, you'd be surprised when you are going and you are not really dedicated and committed unto him, unto the Lord God, just the blessings you are missing, because you will have everything you need. 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone, that's a heavy stone, were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. In other words, destroyed. And if thy hand offended thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You remember me sharing that with you before, letting you know that at the great white throne judgment, that's exactly what is going to take place. Hell, Satan, and all that are not saved will be cast into that lake of fire. That will never be quenched. And it says, where their worm, in other words, where their spirit is, it will never die. 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter out into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thou offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. You need to have the Lord God in you, and in order to do that, you have the Lord God, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit. And they are there taking care of you, giving you what you need and the strength you need. And if you will spend time with them and in their word, and you will stand on faith, they'll see you have what is needed for your life, because he has it already planned out for you. And with that, we're going to close. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with each other, to help us to grow stronger, Father, and to have greater understanding, and to be able to do more for you, Father, because our life is to be yours. Not ours, but yours. Let us, Father, always walk in denial of self, following your word, following your spirit, doing things according to your will and your way, that we all, Father, can be healed of sickness and disease, that our bodies can be whole, Father, here on this earth, and that we can continue to walk with you and to do your work until time for us to come home, Father, when we have finished what you have planned for us, Father. Now, Father, work within our families. Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to them and bring to their conscience the knowledge that they need something greater than themselves, and help to lead them, Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and that they can put their trust and their faith in him and go on to be born again, children of yours, of your kingdom, and that they may help with the work, Father, that is needed to be done in the world today. And we see it. We see a lot of the needs out here ourselves, Father, as the Spirit lets us see it. All around us. Use us, Father. Use us in mighty and great ways, that we, Father, can stand as your children doing your work. Watch over us throughout this day. keep us safe, keep us in health, and see to our needs. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Praise you, Father. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Everybody have a good day. Walk with the Lord. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.